ready. What you're about to hear is Paul Wolfowitz, who's the new president of the World Bank. He's addressing a meeting on U.S.-African trade in Baltimore last month. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, as a former dean of Johns Hopkins University, it's good to be back in Baltimore. Mr. Fountain, thank you very much for your insightful introduction. You already conveyed in a powerful way what I sense is real excitement about the change that's taking place in Africa. A real sense of opportunity after centuries of tragic history. I was honoured to be selected as president of the World Bank. But as they say, the honour lasts 5 minutes. You make a mistake if you take a job like this for the honour of it. I took it with an enormous sense of responsibility, and a special sense of responsibility about Africa, because I knew that the World Bank is critically needed in Africa. And I really began realising this 6 years ago, when we met with the then Governor Bush in Austin to discuss the contents of an upcoming foreign policy speech he was going to make. I'd been reading a lot in preparation about conditions in Africa, about the number of children who were orphaned by AIDS, and other statistics of tragedy and misery and need. There is no question that there is a compelling moral urgency to the conditions of Africa, and there is no question that there are needs. But the pleasant surprise for me, as I began to prepare for this job, and as I assumed the presidency of the World Bank on June the 1st, was to realise that there is a lot more going on than just need. That there really is a sense of change underway. Africa may be on the verge of becoming a continent of hope. And that would be a wonderful thing, not just for Africa and Africans, but for the whole world. Because the world can't afford to have 600 million people left behind as the rest of the world moves forward. It's not only morally wrong, it's incredibly short-sighted. One of the first things I learned after I was unanimously approved for the job was that on July the 8th in Scotland there will be a G8 summit and that the British government have put Africa on the agenda. I was enormously heartened to read the report on African development that Prime Minister Blair had commissioned in preparation for the summit. What to me is particularly heartening is the recognition that Africa's development is going to depend on a lot more than just official development assistance. Yes, official development assistance is important. In fact, it's critical. But in the past, sometimes people thought that it was the only answer. Today, people realise it's only part of the answer, and not even the biggest part of the answer. To be effective, aid depends on performance by the recipient governments, meaning performance in combating corruption, performance in improving standards of transparency and accountability. It means, perhaps most important of all, the development of the private sector in African countries. Because the record of the past 50 years could not be clearer. The countries that have developed successfully have developed strong private sectors. China is an excellent example. The real goal is not just foreign investment in Africa, it's domestic investment in Africa. The real goal is not just foreign corporations operating in Africa. It's African companies growing from small businesses to medium-sized businesses to big businesses. And another thing that the Blair Report recognised was the need for trade. Trade, not aid, is a pretty solid slogan. Unfortunately, however, in too many cases, the products that Africans are producing, or could produce, face enormous obstacles in the international markets, including the obstacle presented by highly subsidized agricultural products from the United States and Canada and Europe. I think if we're going to tackle this problem, and we must tackle this problem, we have got to tackle it on a global basis. And there is an opportunity for this in the Doha trade round. Speaking for the World Bank, we stand ready to help Africa with our advice, lending, technical know-how, and support. We are currently funding 334 projects in Africa worth a total of $16.6 billion. Leaving Africa behind would be a formula for failure. But we don't have to leave Africa behind. Africa is on the move, and it's exciting to be able to move with it. Thank you very much.